Well, family, we have now entered into the fall season. Some of you have been looking forward to the fall season. Some of you have probably been saying, oh, you know, I want the weather to cool down. I want that fall temperature, those fall temperatures to roll in. Well, I wasn't looking forward to it myself. I was rather enjoying the summer and the extended summer. But yet, every year, we have our seasons which change on us. And God has provided those seasons for us for our benefit to enjoy. We look forward to winter, spring, summer, and fall. Some of us want to X the winter part out and just go straight from spring, summer, and fall. You know, and then back to summer again. That would be nice. That would be great. But I guess we would miss the benefits of the winter. I was asking some of those that went to Rapid City, did you see some snow? I forgot to tell you about that one little tidbit, that up in Rapid City this time of the year, you can and you will, and you may see snow. So if you did, I hope you did, because some of our friends up in Canada sent pictures during the feast of all the snow just north of you there in Canada. I said, well, you guys should probably see some snow in the mountains up there. So if you did, I hope so, because it's really nice. It's a really beautiful area, very, very enjoyable, a lot to see. But yet, family, we have these four seasons that God has given to us. And yet God also shows us in his word, you know, that there are seasons that you and I, we're going to have in our own lives. And if you will, join me in Ecclesiastes 3. And let's begin and let's start here with the message for this morning for all of us. Ecclesiastes 3, and let's start in verse 1. To everything there is a season, we are told. A time for every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, a time to be idle. A time to plant, a time to pluck what has been planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. For everything, family, there is a season, and this is what we're learning here. And so the question I have for us this morning is, do you know what season you're in? What season are you in? Do you know? Have you thought about it? Have you looked at it from God's point of view? No matter what season, family, we may find ourselves in, there is a purpose and a reason for us going through that season. The season after I began to evaluate myself here to figure out what season I'm in is a season of humility. It's a season of being humble in many ways. Church, job, my family. I have found myself on every aspect of my life being humble and being reminded to be humble. I have received encouraging thoughts from other members from other areas, saying to me, says, you know, you're always being humble. We hope you always continue to be that way. Well, you know what? God says there is a season. And during this season may not last long because God has to bring us into an understanding of other areas in which we will need to take a look at our own personal lives. And no matter what season you find yourself in at this particular time, maybe it's a financial season. Maybe it's a season that you have gained financially. God has really blessed you. And then what happens when that season changes? Because as we read here, those seasons will change. But as the season change, what is our attitude like before God? What's our attitude like? You know, it's very difficult to have a season where you've been blessed financially and all of a sudden things just kind of fall apart. You don't want things to fall apart because we're focused on things, you know, our home, our cars, our bank accounts. and you have a stock market that crashed, or you have something that goes wrong, and it upsets that season. Well, I hope that it doesn't upset our relationship with God. Because as we're being reminded here, he says, for everything, there is a season. There's a season to love. And there's a season not to be loved. There's a season to give. And there's a season to receive. So this morning, I'd like for us to begin to think about our season and where we find ourselves within our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Title for this morning's message is Just a Season to Move Forward. Just a Season to Move Forward. You know, over the years in the church, we have had people to come into our lives. We've had ministers, ministers' wives, others who have come in that we grew very much attached to. And something happened. Something happened. And that something was either they moved away or they fell away. And we had such a great attachment to them that we began to miss them. And we began to miss what they offered and gave us. We began to miss what we offered and gave them. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that maybe certain people that have come into our lives were brought into our lives just for a season? And maybe that season was just to help us to take one more step forward towards God's kingdom. Have you ever thought about that? And with the individual or individuals that came into our lives, have you ever stopped to think, what contribution did they make to the quality of our lives? You know, I think about an elder that when I was in my early 20s, very rough, very tough minister. He was just rough and tough and didn't take anything off of anybody. You know, he was just that way. He was very firm about God's word. He was very strict about us following God's word. Well, you see, that season that came about for me was a season where I needed some male authority within my life because I've always had women in my life. I never get lost because I always have women around me telling me where to go. Well, my season at that point, I needed a male present within my life. In my early 20s, I was married. My wife and I had children. And my rule was that with my wife that no matter how many children we have, you know, they will be disciplined. They will be, you know, they will follow the directions given to them by their mother and me. And that I would not have a bunch of heathens running amok around the church. That's just how I was. And some thought, well, you know, that's being harsh. Well, no, that wasn't being harsh. You know, that was the way I was raised. I was raised that way. And so I began to raise our children that way. But yet there was a season right there for myself where I needed, even in my early 20s, I needed a stern hand. I had a loving hand, but I needed a stern hand. And so for about 3 years, I had a stern hand on me from the church, from a man that I grew to love and to respect. Then all of a sudden one day, he's gone. Well, I missed that individual. You know, I began to enjoy having him a part of my life. He gave me a lot of guidance. He gave me a lot of direction. And he corrected me a lot. I had this little cartoon in Spokesman's Club that I used to have that used to sit up on my desk. Well, on my side of the table, the guys would come over. They see they knew I was sitting there because the cartoon had this guy. He's a big guy and had this big giant chunk in his behind missing. And I had the cartoon to read. Don't worry, nothing serious, just a little chat with the pastor. And everyone's like, oh, we don't want that chat with the pastor. And then one day, during my course of being corrected, one Sabbath he walked into church. He saw me sitting there. No, actually, I was folding up chairs. He walks up to me. He says, what are you doing right now? Of course, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, what does it look like I'm doing? You know, folding up chairs. But I didn't say that, not to him. I chose my words very, very carefully. I just replied back, I'm folding up the chairs. So, well, good, because I'm ordaining two men today, and you're one of the men that's getting ordained today. I said, oh, wait a minute, time out. What do you mean? You have a problem with that? What do you mean? You know, is there a system? Is there a process? Do you have a problem? Whatever you say. Yes, sir. Right? And so two of us were ordained that day. And I thought life couldn't get any worse. But it did, because responsibilities came along with that ordination. But yet, God was preparing me for this journey. And he knew what person to put in my life at that particular time to prepare me for that journey. And then later, that individual's gone. Have you found in your lives that there was that one person that seemed to have made a contribution in helping you to move forward a little closer to God's kingdom than you were before they came into your lives? Well, God has a unique way, family, of putting people in our lives that will help us along the way. And yet, the same holds true for you and me. God has placed you in someone's life right now to help them along their journey into the kingdom of God. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Sometimes we focus too much on the negative when it comes to what's going on within our season and not realizing it's just a season. That's all it is. It's just a season. Now, it's what we do with that season that makes the difference. And I hope today that we will take a deeper look at our season and begin to make God more and more a part of it. Because he tells us over in Jeremiah, he says, you know, my plan is not to hurt you or destroy you. That's not my plan. My plan is to profit you. My plan is to bless you. This is what God is saying to you and to me. So he wants us to understand that no matter what season we find ourselves in, it's just a season to develop you and me, to grow us, to help us become a little bit more productive in our daily walk with him. This is our journey. This is our walk. And our walk is towards the kingdom of God. And so here we are. None of us in this room met by accident. You know, there was a a tow truck company up in Indiana that on all their tow trucks and all their billboards, it read, "We meet by accident." Well, that's true for a tow truck company, but that's not true for you and me. You and I, we didn't meet by accident. We didn't come to know each other by accident. It was by design. God placed us in the body where it pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12, we see this and we're reminding of this. In 1 Corinthians 12, and I believe it was in verse 18, he said, "But no, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body where it pleases him." So what this tells me is you and me, we're here not by accident, but by design. God has placed us here. John 6:44, as was read early by Mr. Franks. "No one can come to me," Jesus Christ said, "unless the Father who sent Jesus Christ draws that individual." So it doesn't make any difference what we go out and do in trying to usher people in. If God is not working with them, they're not coming. But if God is working with them, and through your efforts and through your light and through your example, they see something that they want to be a part of. They see a difference in you. They see your light shining brightly. And they want to have that same light. You and I, we are here today because, one, God called us, and two, he drew us to his son, Jesus Christ. He says, "But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body where it pleases him. And we are all one body within Jesus Christ. And we are here being taught, being led, being guided, and being directed by Jesus Christ." And so, if we are here being led and being taught, family, we are going to go through some things. You know, what did Christ tell us when he was departing? He prayed for us. And he prayed that God would watch over and protect us. We are not of the world, but he is leaving us in the world for a reason. And during that time period, we are going to have seasons, because he said, in the world, he says, you're going to have trials. But remember what? I overcame the world, he reminds us. So you and me, we have that same opportunity of overcoming. And the way we do it is we have to rely upon Jesus Christ to do this. He has set the way. He has set the examples before us. He showed us how to do this. Now the question is, will we do it? Will we follow him? Will we obey him? He died. He bought and paid for you and men, you and me, because of our sins. But yet, along our journey, he brings people along to help us along the way. And sometimes we don't see that, or maybe sometimes we don't realize that. I'd like to share two short stories with you that captured, you know, my attention early on. The first one is when I was about 17, 18 years old, I believe. My mother and I worked for a hotel. My mom was a chef, and she introduced me to the maintenance director of the hotel where she was the chef with a cook in. And so she had introduced me to this man, and this man hired me. I was out of high school. I'd already graduated high school. And so the deal was, until you start school, you'll work. Well, I was working since I was 5 years old. I was about her age right there, and I had chores. I had things I had to do. But they made a mistake. They gave me money. I liked that money. So I worked for that money. I worked so hard for that money, I bought my first watch and ring. People didn't understand that. It was my money. So then I had to be taught how to save money. That was an interesting concept. I tried to teach that to my daughters. It still hasn't worked. But nonetheless, Mom had come to me and she said, this particular morning, she said, son, she said, we are going to have probably enough gas to make it to work, but I won't have enough gas to make it probably the rest of the week. I'm thinking, okay, well, we're a couple days away from payday. So Mom was always very frugal. She wasn't one that just went out buying things and spending money, because during that time period, things were tight. So you didn't do this. But nonetheless, my mother had a relationship with God. She had her prayer room. It wasn't a prayer closet. It was a room where when she went into that room, you weren't welcome, because that was her time with God. Well, she knew what she was faced against, but she wanted to share that with me. Well, you would think that having a mother who prayed and who studied God's word, the first thing I would have done was what? Prayed. I was 17. Come on, guys. No, that wasn't the first thing I did. Okay? Now, but the interesting thing was, after work, we were leaving. I looked over at her fuel gauge. We had an old 1962 Bonneville Pontiac. I loved that car. That was a real car. That was a heavy car, too. But yet, we had this vehicle. That vehicle loved gas. I mean, it really loved gas. All right? And I didn't realize how much that vehicle loved gas until I had to start putting gas in it. Then I didn't love that vehicle as much, because it wasn't showing that love back to me. But nonetheless, here we were, after work, gas gauge was on a quarter of a tank, and we had probably about 8 miles to get home. We pulled up to an intersection, and it was probably about 90 degrees out that particular day. We pulled up to an intersection, and there was an elderly gentleman standing at the bus stop. We stopped at the light. This gentleman walked over to the car, and he introduced himself. He said, excuse me, it's rather hot out here, and I'm just trying to get home. I've been standing out here waiting on this bus. He says, I will pay you all if you could just take me home. So Mom looked at me, and I thought, hey, you're the driver. What are you in? It's your car. So she says, invite him in. I said, this old guy? No. She says, invite him in. Okay, fine. So open the door for him. He gets in the car. Asked him where he lived. Well, this old man actually lived 2 blocks from our house. And I thought, okay, well, I guess that's not too bad. But the thing that intrigued me the most about this old man, he had a bowler. He wore a bowler. I loved hats. This guy had the neatest bowler. And for you ladies, you know what a bowler is. It's just, it's a hat. It's got the round top on it and the rim that goes around. It's really a neat hat. Well, anyway, he gets in the car. I see his bowler. I start talking to him. Very nice man. Older gentleman. Very, very, very nice. And so I'm talking to him, and we're having a conversation as we're traveling down the road. And then we pull up to where he said his house was. We pulled up in the driveway. He thanked us. He went to offer us money. Mom and I both said, no, because, you know, we didn't go out of our way for this. He says, no, I offered you money. And he says, and I want to follow through and give you the money that I offered you to take me home. And we're like, but we didn't go out of our way. No, I offered you the money. So finally we took the money. The money he gave her was enough money for her to fill that car up for the next week or two. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. But the interesting thing about this story is this. We're talking about the seasons that we're in and how God plays a part in our journey if we make him a part of it. Mom made God a part of the situation that we found ourselves in. Short of cash, gas gauge at a quarter of a tank, not enough fuel to make it for the rest of the week. So, dropped the gentleman off. He walks up to his porch, waves at us, thank us, walk in the house. We pulled out, went two blocks, and we were home. We got out of the car. I noticed he left that bowler in the back seat. And I said, whoa, Mom, time out. He left his hat. She says, well, why don't you take it around there to him? I said, okay, I will. So I drove around to go return his hat back to him. I walked up to the house. I knocked on the door. This elderly lady comes to the door. I introduced myself to her. I said, ma'am, I said, we just dropped your husband off, and he left his hat in the car, and I want to present that back to you to give to him. She looked at me real strange. She says, what do you mean? I said, I just want to give your husband back his hat. We just dropped him off here probably 10 minutes ago. She said, well, number one, I don't have a husband. I'm sorry. Okay. We just dropped a gentleman off here. He left his hat in our car. I just want to return him his hat. She says, there is no gentleman that lives here in this house. I said, ma'am, look, I just want to give the man back his hat. And, you know, I don't know what's going on here. I just want to return his hat. And she assured me in a very strong and stern way that there was no man that lived in that house. And there was no man that walked through this door 10 minutes ago. So what do you think happened here? So I go back to the house. I tell my mother what happened. Mom has no concern on her face whatsoever. I said, what do you think? And she said, what do you think? I said, I think the old woman didn't want us to know that this old guy lives with her, and she didn't want his hat back. She said, okay, and left it at that. That's where we left it. Nice boulder. I kept that boulder for quite some time. I don't know what happened to it after. Maybe one of my brothers came by and got it, saw it and liked it, and took it. I don't know. Something happened. The conversation was with God about the situation that we found ourselves in. God intervened. Second story. We roll this story forward about 25 years. I'm in another season here. This season was a very, very hard financial season. It was very difficult, my wife and I and our children. But yet, it seemed that this particular season, anything and everything that could go wrong did go wrong in my life. And I'm trying to figure out how to get through this, through prayer, through Bible study, through all the things that I was supposed to be doing. But this season just would not let up. And so one day I was in the hardware store. And I went up to look for something. And I'm standing here in this particular aisle. I reach up, and this elderly woman walks up to me. She asked me a question about something. I have no idea. I can't even remember what she asked me. But I do remember her next question to me. Her next question was, what do you do for a living? So I shared it with her. But also during that time period, I wasn't kind of a happy-go-lucky type person. So my face probably had a frown on it. And so she stood right there next to me, and I'm thinking, I just want to say, oh, woman, just go away. You know, why are you standing right here next to me? I'm trying to just kind of, you know, soak in my little pity party here, and you don't want anything, and you're coming over here to disturb me. This is what I wanted to say, but I didn't say it. This all went through my mind. Put the filters on, watch what came out of my mouth. So she was standing there. I asked her if there was something else, you know, that I could do for her. She looked at me, and she says, And when she went, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. I heard that from my mother and my grandmother when I wasn't thinking properly here. And so I turned, I looked at the woman, and I asked her again what I could do for her. She says, so you're having troubles. So you've fallen. Fallen, just down right now. She says, you've fallen. I said, okay, I've fallen. Fallen down on my luck. You know, still that attitude still hasn't gotten just right yet. And so she looked at me and she just said, my Bible says that a righteous man will fall seven times and yet he will get back up. Seems to me like you've only fallen a couple of times. And when she said that, it just really irritated me. So I turned to the old woman to give her my reply back, and the old woman was gone. So I walked to the end of the aisle, and I looked up and down the aisle to see where this old woman went. So I went to the next aisle because I wanted to talk to this old woman. How are you going to just come up and tell me about my business and what I'm not doing? The woman was nowhere to be found. And then I remember the old man with the bowler that gave us money for fuel. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 2 came to light. Hebrews 13 and verse 2 says, don't forget to entertain strangers. For doing so, you'll be entertaining angels unaware. And so I'm going back in my mind. I go back when I was 17 years old. Was this an angel that God sent? I'm thinking about this old woman who used scripture. You see, when this old woman used scripture, that's what my mother did to me all the time. That's what she did. She would always refer to a scripture to get my attention. She didn't use human logic or her human reasoning. She always used scripture. You see, God knew who to send at that moment while I was going through my season to get my attention. The question I keep throwing back here at all of us, what season are you in, and are you paying attention to what God is actually doing for you in that season? I don't know, family, what we're suffering and what we're going through, but I do know this, we are all going through something. There are things happening to each one of us. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ said that we will have trials. We will have difficulties. And he gives us the encouragement that we need. Along our journey, just like with these two short stories that I shared with you, God knows what we need, and he sends that help. But we have to continue to keep him a part of the process and a part of the plan. Let's take a look at another example. This one's a biblical example. Sometimes within that journey will cause us to have a test. God is testing us to see if we're going to obey him. God is testing us to see if we are going to do what we agreed to do and if we are actually going to believe that God is going to come through. Let's go to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, you are all familiar with this story. But let's get re-familiar with this story again. And this is the story about Abram. Genesis 22, and let's go down to verse 22, where it says, now it came to pass after these things, God had tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. Abraham responded back and says, here I am. I'm sorry, not verse 22, family, verse 2. Genesis 22, let's go to verse 2. And then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Now, he just gave him a son, his only son. He promised Abraham that he would have this son, and he would bless this son. And now, this young lad, God has told Abraham to go and offer him up. Now, how many of us in our walk with God right now would just up and do that? I think there's going to be some begging and some pleading. I think there's going to be some meals missed. I think there's going to be a lot of crying out to God as to what do you mean sacrifice this child? Now, as much as I love my girls, as much as certain days of the week, I may think about it, but I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But yet, if that test came and God would tell me to do such a thing, well, today I'd go to jail, number one. And I don't think God will put me in that position. But yet, if God said to us, listen, here's what I want you to do. Will we obey him? Or will we question and challenge him? I think we will question and challenge God. I know I would. Do you really mean this? Are you very serious about this? And so we know Abraham went and he did as God told him to do. He left. But I'm quite sure that Abraham had to have had a long conversation with God about this. And so finally, Abraham gave in. But you see, this season that Abraham was in was to test and to prove him. Because we go on down to the end of the story, and we are reminded that the angel of the Lord came to him and stopped him from sacrificing his son. Because God says, okay, now I know. See, now I know. We have to go through that season, and we have to deal with the trials before us so that God will know that we will continue to turn to him and we will continue to obey him in that season no matter what. It's not always easy, family, to obey God and do what you want to do. Because we have to remember that God gave us his son who died for every one of us sitting in this room. And even for mankind outside these walls. He died for all of mankind so that we and them will know that he is God and what his plan and purpose is for his creation. God says, don't touch that lad because now I know. I know that you're going to obey me. I know that you're not going to hold anything back from me. Now I know. Is your season right now a season where you're being tested? And maybe you never thought of it that way. Maybe your attitude is being tested. Maybe your obedience to God is being tested. What season are you in? Take a look at what's troubling us today. Because whatever it is, that's your season. And God wants to help us through that season. Matthew 6 and verse 8. You see, going back to my mother always had this conversation with God. Morning and evenings, she went into her study, she prayed, she talked to God. God always knew what was going on with her and in her life. And she prayed for me a lot, I was told, after her death by one of her good friends. And that troubled my heart to know that at that time I felt like, you know, she should have been praying more for herself, but she was praying for me. And yet that's what Christ did before he died for you and me. Matthew 6 and in verse 8, we read, therefore, don't be like them. We're picking up on the account that just took before verse 8. He says, for your father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask. He knows what we need. He knows what we desire. He knows what we want. Now, the question to us in our season on this journey as we are traveling towards the kingdom of God, are we making God a part of that season? Now, God has probably allowed the season to occur to get our attention. Because when you're hungry, you're going to focus on food. But what about spiritual food? What about the spiritual food? Because that's what we need more than anything else. We need that spiritual substance that only God can give. And yet God says here, I know what you need. I know before you even ask me. But the question is, will we ask him? Will we ask him, or will we kind of turn our heart away from him because, you know, calamities are happening all around us? Your world is being shaken up. It's been flipped upside down. Will we continue to go to him? Will we continue to talk to him in that season? Now, it's interesting that when we're in that season and everything's going well, how often and how much do we talk to God? How much do we involve God in our personal lives when everything is going great? It's an altogether different ballgame when a season is upon us and things happen. God brings people along the way on our journey that will help us move forward and a little bit closer to the kingdom of God. He will do that. Now the next question is, are we even paying attention to those God has around us? Are we paying attention to them? Are we listening to them? You know, sometimes they don't even know themselves. And sometimes we don't know what we're doing that makes a positive effect on the people that are affected by you and me. But you see, God has a way of getting our attention. Let's look at the journey of Jesus Christ for just a moment while he was on the earth. Jesus Christ, while on the earth, was here for a season, 33 and a half years, as we have depicted here in the Bible. Now, while he was in his season, on his journey on earth, he touched the lives of many people. People that came in contact with him, if they weren't so antagonistic against him, he touched their lives. He had a purpose for being here. And he had a huge mission. Now, along the way, he touched the eyes of a blind man and restored his sight. He made it possible for a lame man to be able to walk again. He resurrected his friend Lazarus, who had been dead for several days. He resurrected him and brought him back to life. Why did Christ do this? Why did he do it? So that it could be recorded right here in his word, letting us know that he has the abilities to do these things. Some saw what he did, you know, thought he was of a different spirit. Others saw and worshiped him and followed him, and they knew who he was. His mission also made it possible that he drew in 12 men and called them his disciples so that he could teach them of his way and God's way, and so that they could go out and be an example to others. In their seasons, they were doing one thing, but Christ called them to now become not fishers of fish in the water, but fishers of men. He wanted them to teach, to instruct, and to show others his way. On his journey, this is what he was doing. On our journey, family, who has God sent along to touch our hearts, to touch our mind, and to bring us along the way? Let's look at another interesting, very interesting event that took place. Let's look at after Jesus Christ was beaten, his flesh ripped apart, and the community wanted Barabbas instead of Christ. And they said to crucify him. Even in the last walk of his journey, something very interesting happened. Very short verse in the Bible, but I think all of us will remember it. There were two men that were involved in this event. Jesus Christ and a man named Simon. The man named Simon. Matthew records this event with Simon. Matthew 27 and verse 32. He says, now when they came out, Matthew 27 and verse 32, now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and he was compelled to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. And when they had come to the place of Golgotha, it's where it rested. Now, Matthew shows that here was a man that was compelled to carry that cross of Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to stop and think about what has taken place, what has happened to Jesus Christ. He has been beaten, his flesh ripped apart. He's had no food, he's had no water for the past 12 to 24 hours. His body cannot stand another shock to it. Mark also records this event. Mark 15, and let's go look at verse 21. Mark says something a little bit similar. In verse 21, in Mark 15, it says, then they being the centurion soldiers, they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by. And as he was passing by on his journey, he crossed the paths of another man. And that man was Jesus Christ. And as he crossed the path with this man, he was compelled, he was ordered, he was instructed to carry that cross for Jesus Christ. And here Mark also shares the same story here. John's account of this event just says that Christ carried the cross. So we have three different versions here, but yet there was a man who crossed the path of Jesus Christ and was asked to help him along the way on his journey. Family, how many people have crossed our paths? How many people have crossed our paths to help us along our journey? Have we stopped to think about that particular season that we were in and what God was doing with us? Have we stopped to think about the lessons that God wanted us to learn? Have we stopped to realize and to see the great blessing and the awesomeness of God? He said that he promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. Even in the seasons that we may find ourselves in that are the most difficult to endure. It is very difficult to lose a loved one when you're praying to God and asking God to bless that individual and to heal that individual and to raise that individual up. We have examples where Christ did that to his friend. And yet he calls us his friends as well. Why hasn't he done that for us? You see, God has a plan for you and me. And in the course of this plan, he is preparing us to be the kings and the priests and the teachers that we need to be. Even as Jesus Christ went through a great trial, you and I are going to go through a great trial. But he says, remember this, I overcame the world. So that means that we can do the same thing. And with his help and with his guidance, he will bring us through every situation that we find ourselves in. But we have to make him and the Father a part of the plan. Our plan to succeed in the seasons that we find ourselves in, they do not exclude God, they include God. No matter how difficult, no matter how frustrated we may get, God wants us to see his hand in our lives. He wants us to know and to remember that his plan is not to destroy us. His plan is to profit us. Just like with Abraham, he wants to know if we are going to continue to obey him. Matthew 4, verse 41, don't turn there. Christ says, whoever compels you to go a mile, go two. Go 2 miles. And this is what this man Simon did. He went all the way with him. And yet, can you imagine how he's going to feel when he realizes later on that this was Jesus Christ that he was compelled to serve at that particular moment, at this particular intersection, as he was journeying himself, coming from his son's house, having yet kept the Passover, and now he is helping the actual Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the one who died for him. You know, family, we have so many different events that take place in our lives. I shared those two stories about the old man and the old lady because Christ told us to be careful. Be careful of the strangers that you may be entertaining, because you may be entertaining angels and you don't even know it. And those angels were sent to assist, to help, and to provide for you and me, to encourage us. Not to break us down, not to take anything away from us. But do we think of it this way? Do we think of it that way? The last story I want to share here is one that I like. I like it because of what this story says. You know, I'm intrigued with space. There were times I would just kind of lay out in the backyard in the fall and in the winter when the stars are always shining so bright and you're looking up into the heavens and you see all these stars and you wonder. I don't know if any of you, but I've always wondered what we will be doing in the future. And will all these stars be a part of planets maybe that we will be put in charge of? These are just my thoughts. You know, I kind of think way out there when I look up in space. I know maybe many of you haven't done that, but I do it from time to time. Always curious. But you know, I want to share this story about a rocket. A rocket, in order to get it off the launch pad up into outer space, it takes at least 2 to 3 stages of combustion that's going to take place from 3 processes of that rocket to get it into outer space. That first primary stage will have an engine that's going to have all the thrust and power it needs to get that rocket off the ground and get it airborne. And once that stage gets the rocket airborne, what happens? Many of you have watched these rockets take off. You see things fall apart. Well, no. That stage, that process has done its part, and now it's no longer needed. So in that primary stage, those thrusters and everything that goes along with it will fall now off the rocket. Because in order to keep lifting that rocket up, you've got to get rid of the weight to get it into the atmosphere as to where it needs to be. Once that takes place, then a second process occurs. Now, the thrusters and the engines that are involved that have engaged now in keeping this rocket to move forward, once it completes its task and it runs out of fuel, it does the same thing. It's no longer needed because it has done its part to get that rocket now further along into space. And so you will see it fall apart and fall off the rocket because you continue to lose the weight to keep pushing that rocket forward into the outer space. And then there's a third stage that takes place. And that third stage is the last component, the engine that has thrusters on it that keeps that rocket now moving even faster as it pushes it out into outer space. And then you see that part fall off, and now you see this capsule now into outer space. And it's using the engines and the thrusters that it needs to continue to move it along. Family, within our seasons, think about your lives like that rocket. There are stages within our lives where people and situations come along that help move us forward just a little bit closer into God's kingdom. And when those pieces are no longer needed, they fall away. And those pieces that may fall away might be a loved one. In my case, it was my mom who raised me, because my mother is the one that introduced me to Mr. Armstrong when I was a kid, got me where I needed to be. And when she said to me, hey, I paid my dues, my time is over, and she died, she had lifted me to where I needed to be at that moment. And then along come others that played a huge part in continuing to lift me and push me along my journey. The same thing applies to you as well. But do we look at it that way? Even through correction, do we look at correction as being a method to get our focus back where it needed to be? Well, God corrects us. He doesn't correct us the way man corrects us, but he gives that correction that we need so that we will get back focused, so that we can continue to move forward in the direction that he wants us to go in order to push us a little closer to his kingdom. We're getting closer, family, but things will continue to happen to help us along the way. Each stage, just like with this rocket, if we could just compare our lives to that rocket, pull up a video on YouTube of a rocket when it goes up, and every piece that falls away, ask yourself personally, who was that? Who was that piece that helped push me and bring me along this far? And the next piece, when it falls away, who was this? You see, God promised, and Jesus Christ promises to always be with us. No matter what season we find ourselves in, God is going to be leading the growth processes for his people. He promises to see us through. He will keep that promise. God has never failed us, and he never will. He never will. And family, I want to conclude. I want us to turn to Isaiah 43. I want us to turn to Isaiah 43 because here God is speaking to Isaiah to let him know, no matter what, I'm going to see you through. Isaiah 43. See, but now, thus says the Lord, verse 1, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine, he says. Put your name there. He says, you are mine. I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. He is telling us, I am with you. I am going to go through this with you, and I'm going to bring you through this situation, and I'm going to bring you through this season. Nor shall the flames scorch you. Nothing will happen to you. Now, do we believe that? And if we don't, family, we need to draw ourselves a little bit closer to God. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give you men. I will give men for you and people for your life. He says, fear not, for I am with you. This is what he's telling us. No matter what season you find yourselves in, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's difficult, whether it's hard, whether it's heartbreaking, he says, I am with you. You will not go through this alone. I will go through this season with you. My purpose is to prosper you. My purpose is to strengthen you. You are precious in my sight. This is what he is telling you and me. You are precious in my sight. And if we are precious in his sight, family, he is not going to desert us. He is not going to cast us aside. He will help us. He knows what we need before we ask. This is what Christ told us. We read that. Let's go back in our lives and look at the seasons that God has brought us through and see God. See God. Read the rest of Isaiah 43 down to verse 21. What season are we in, family? If you don't know, look at where you are. Look at where you are. Look at what's troubling you. Look at what has your heart stirred up. That's the season that you're in. If nothing's being stirred up and everything's going well for you, Enjoy that season. But no, he told us, those seasons will change. And when they change, family, will you be ready to accept the change? And will you include God in that season with you? He says, I'll be with you. I will strengthen you. I'm going to give you everything that you need to make it through. But the question I want to leave us with is this. Will we make God a part of every season that he allows us to have?